Good morning, friends, and welcome to Prairie Street Mennonite Church, where we gather for a service of worship to the Lord, our source of water in the desert. Welcome to all who gather in the sanctuary and to all who are joined to us by tape or podcast. Throughout each week, we go through times when we are lonely or afraid. So as we gather this Sunday morning, let us sing together to remind ourselves and each other of the strength and refreshment we can find in following the Lord, our shepherd. Please open your light blue Prairie Street Sings folder to number 19, Lord, You Are My Shepherd When I'm Afraid.
Thank you.
To gather our hearts and minds in worship this morning, please pray with me in the words of the psalmist that are printed on the first page of your bulletin. O God, you are our God. We seek you. We have seen you in the sanctuary, and we know your power and glory.
We will praise you and bless you as long as we live.
O God, you satisfy our souls as with a rich feast. In the shadow of your wings, we sing for joy, and you uphold us. Amen.
Please turn in the blue hymnal to number 521, Come Thou Fount. And those who are able, please stand. Turn in the green, sing the journey book to number 8. We'll sing verse 1 in English, then verse 1 in Spanish, then verse 2 in English, then 2 in Spanish, starting with verse 1 in English.
Thank you.
We are on a journey, often through dry and weary lands, where we are hard pressed to find refreshing water. As we journey together, let us share, remind each other, and share the peace of Christ with each other and with the world. This morning, we may share that peace by saying La Paz de Cristo and responding La Paz de Cristo, or you may say the peace of Christ be with you and respond and also with you. To invite the children to come forward for a children's time with Pastor Steve.
Good morning, let's gather around. If you could scoot in a little closer. How are you this morning?
Good.
Well, I have a question for you. It's a bit of a trick question, a hard question to ask you before we have our little children's story. Think of apples, oranges, tangerines, bananas, cashews, almonds, chocolate, and coffee. These are all things that I like to eat or drink. Do you know what they all have in common? Where they all come from?
Yeah, a tree.
A tree, exactly. Very good. I thought I'd throw in chocolate and coffee because not everybody knows that they come from trees. Lots of good things come from trees, and I love trees. It's one of my favorite things. And so I brought a tree from my place. This is a persimmon tree. We're going to hear in our scripture reading after our children's moment a story about a fig tree. A fig tree that was barren, that wasn't producing any fruit, just like this persimmon tree. I have some persimmon trees that are about this big around and maybe about as tall as a basketball hoop, but they're not growing any fruit yet, and so I'm patiently waiting. Jesus told a story of something like that, where there was an owner of a property, and he had a little vineyard, a place for growing fruit. And he kept watching one of his trees, a young fig tree, that wasn't growing any fruit. And he became impatient, and he told the gardener, cut it down. It's not growing any fruit. Why should it take up the space that it is and use up the ground that it takes? But the vine dresser or the farmer said, no, let's just patiently wait and give it another year. In the meantime, I will fertilize it. And so just as we need food and water, right? We eat every day. We need to drink water every day. In the same way, a tree, it needs light. It needs air to breathe. It needs water. And it needs nutrition or food. Did you know that trees eat too? Well, they do. And so this tree here has some things growing in it. It has some things in it, like these leaves from last year and other kind of things that have fallen in here that it eats as it goes down into the soil. Now, I brought three kinds of fertilizer, that is plant food, with me. This is the favorite kind that I like to use. This is simply just mulch. It's just a mix of tree bark and leaves and other kind of things that are mixed up that turn into dirt that the tree feeds on. But what was more natural back in the time of Jesus that the farmer would have used would have been natural fertilizer. Look at this. These are not Cocoa Puffs. Do you know what these are? No, it kind of looks like little rocks or pebbles. This is actually deer poop. The farmer, they had goats back then, and they would have gathered up the manure or the poop from the goats and other animals that they have, and they would put it around a tree. I had goats when I grew up, but I don't know where any goats are at, so I couldn't get any. So I went out in the field next to me, and I gathered the closest thing to it, just to give you an idea what that might have looked like. So that's what the farmer then, in the time of Jesus, might have placed around the tree to feed it. Or what a lot of people do, they'll just put in what this is called a nitrogen. It's another kind of fertilizer that I sometimes put around my trees. So let's actually feed my tree because it needs to eat. And what should we feed it? Should we feed it some nitrogen? Should we try some of the poop? Or should we try the mulch? What would you like to put around it? You want to try the mulch? Maybe a little of each? Okay, all right. And we got to be really careful of this because this is really strong. So we're just going to put in just a little bit of this. Just a little bit of this. Okay. And then our deer poop. Okay, you don't have to hold your nose. It's nice and dry, just but you can see if you want. Okay, and then let's put some of our mulch on. Okay, so this is, see how nice what that's like? Yeah, that actually kind of smells good too. So we'll put that around, and that actually help keep the moisture, keep the ground from drying out. And it helps keep the ground from getting too hot or too cold. So that's feeding our tree. And then let's give it a little bit of water, okay? Next I'm going to do up here. I'll put it right up here. Kind of water it in a little bit. Okay, let's wait. Watch for the fruit to grow. What's funny? Oh, you think I need to be a little more patient?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be a little more patient. And that's what Jesus is saying, that God is patient with us, waiting for us to grow fruit. And this is what God wants of us. Jesus said in John 15 that he wants us to be fruitful. And from the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis 1, we hear the call to be fruitful. And so this is some tangerines that I'll have you take. And then the kind of fruit that was growing that Jesus referred to was a fig. And so I'd like you each to take a fig if you would like. That's the kind of tree that Jesus had in mind. And do you think Pastor Carolyn might like a fig? That's why she came up here.
Okay.
Okay, And so then you can also take a tangerine, and you can actually take two, one for you and then one to share with somebody else. And then we also have my favorite way of eating figs. They're called Fig Newtons, okay? This is one of my favorite cookies. And if you like a Fig Newton, you can take one of those too. So lots of food today, okay? And that gives you a better idea what a fig tastes like inside a cookie. So we want to keep in mind that what God wants from us is to be fruitful. If we think of some of the fruits of the Spirit, like love, joy, peace, patience, joy, kindness, the fruits of the Spirit, we think about that, then also the good things that we do. But in order to become fruitful, we need to think about feeding ourselves. And today, in worship, we talk about feeding on God's Word, the Scripture. So we're going to hear the Scripture next. And as Jesus referred to that, as feeding on the Word of God, relying on water, relying on other things to care for our own spiritual growth. So let's have a word of prayer. We thank you, God, for the gift of trees and the fruit that they bear. We thank you for this example that Jesus gave us. As you want us to be fruitful, we pray that you would help us to feed ourselves and to feed our church with your Word and with prayer, and that we would grow and bear fruit. For we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, the 13th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Then he told this parable. I'm sorry, beginning with the sixth verse, if you're following along. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" The gardener replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down."
Lucas 13, 1-9. También les dijo esta parábola. Un hombre había plantado una higuera en su viña, y cuando fue a buscar higos en ellas, no encontró ninguno. Entonces le dijo al viñador, "Hace 3 años que vengo a buscar higos en esta higuera, y nunca encuentro uno solo. Cortado, para que no se desaproveche también la tierra." Pero el viñador le dijo, "Señor, deja todavía un año más, hasta que ya le afloje la tierra y la abone. Si da fruto, qué bueno, y si no da, córtala entonces."
The word of the Lord.
Palabra del Señor.
Gracias, Dios. Our preacher this morning is Pastor Francis, and let's pray for her. Lord, please bless and guide your servant Francis as she brings words of wisdom to us this morning. As we listen to her, open our ears to hear your voice, soften our hearts to respond to your call, and grant us courage to follow your path. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
agricultural images carried a great deal of meaning in ancient times. People lived close to the land, knew the seasons, knew the cycles of growth. They lived with the immediacy of hunger and dependency on food from the earth. I think today we can miss the impact of these images. In many cases, we live largely removed from the land and maybe enjoy the beauty and tastiness of the farm stand, but don't really see life or death in our shopping options. We gather square packages and round containers and then use paper cash or a plastic swipe to bring home dinner. But the time is upon us to start understanding again our dependence on soil, on rain and clean water, the right rhythms of heat and cold, and to begin to understand that not only our bodies, but our entire well-being and maybe even the health of our souls now depends on understanding and receiving deeply the teaching and wisdom of these images from nature. So as we pay particular attention today to tree and to fruit, may we trust and receive the deep truth they carry for us today. May we grasp the wisdom and receive what is hidden and carried in this message from the scripture. The gospel, the story of salvation, begins with trees and fruit and ends with trees and fruit. In the beginning at the Garden of Eden, it says, "Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." And then we go through the whole story, and there again, now for the healing of the nations in Revelation, the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flows from the throne of God and the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. How close to God's heart must providing fruit be? And then how desolate an image of a tree with no fruit. The best of creation, the fullest perfection, is represented by gifts of the tree. The deepest need for our world, the wonder most yearned for, the healing of the nations. In Psalm 1, we see this in the image of the individual, the blessed one, the happy one. They are like trees planted by streams of water. They yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all they do, they prosper. In the story of Israel, the people of God, Fruitfulness is the picture of the covenant relationship with God. Right relationship in Leviticus is described this way. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crops, and the trees their fruit. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and the grape harvest will continue until planting. And you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land. I will look on you with favor and make you fruitful and increase your numbers, and I will keep my covenant with you. And I love this line. You will still be eating last year's harvest when you have to move it out to make room for the new. What a picture of abundance in right relationship. And then broken covenant relationship is described. Your strength will be spent in vain because your soil will not yield its crops, nor will the trees of your land yield their fruit. That's how God talks about broken relationship. And what do we see reading the story of Israel? We see again and again times of brokenness and unfaithfulness. But God comes again and again through the prophets, seeking to bring the people into right relationship. And there are whispered hints of some miraculous event coming, a Messiah. John the Baptist comes to prepare the way, and John proclaims a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and also uses the image of tree and fruitfulness in his fiery declaration. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Already, the axe is ready. It's there. It's ready to cut. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Trust John the Baptist to bring the message home. So, with this in mind, let us hear from this tree, the tree without fruit that Jesus describes in a parable. A common interpretation suggests that God is the owner who planted a fig tree and has come looking for the fruit. The gardener represents Jesus. The time is short, yet there's opportunity, a time of grace. But the clock is ticking. You have only so long to produce fruit. Best get to it. Another interpretation takes into account that this is an occupied territory controlled by the Romans who have grabbed resources through severe taxation. The owner could be an absentee landlord, a rich person from the city who doesn't know the law of first fruits that forbids eating fruit from a tree in its first 3 years. The gardener is an observant Jew, foiling the plans of empire. What we do know about this parable is that the gardener cares for the fruitfulness of the tree. Going beyond threats of no fruit, there is a gardener who deeply believes in the possibility of fruit. In some ways, the gardener stakes their own reputation on fruit that will appear. A belief, a conviction that the time of fruit bearing will come. The gardener will put in the effort, provide all that is available, all that is known, mulch, poop, fertilizer, to nourish the tree. The tree has an advocate working on its behalf. And we have an advocate. Jesus the gardener has sent the Holy Spirit, named our advocate, working on our behalf, working in the fertilizer, working for our fruitfulness. So what might our fertilizer look like? In this season of Lent, we turn to the powerful fertilizer of confession. And this season, we have highlighted confession. We have moved it to a place after the sermon, a response, confessing both faith in God and a confession to God of who we are. Who we are in our relationship to God, and who we are in our relationship to other people, and who we are in relationship to our larger world. There are many churches that if you were to visit, you would find no mention of confession. And there are other churches that highlight confession in a very concrete way, kneeling or offering a space and a person to hear your confession. Here at Prairie Street, we land somewhere in the middle, offering a time of confession in our worship service that is led by the worship leader and usually takes just a few minutes. I remember my formative time years ago at Lombard Mennonite Church, being invited to lead worship. And part of that was offering the words similar to what we do here. Sisters and brothers, God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has mercy on us and forgives our sins through the Lord Jesus. I stumbled. I hesitated to speak those words. How could I possibly say, Jesus forgives your sins? There was nothing that prepared me to declare forgiveness of sins. And for that matter, I found the whole idea of confession equally disconcerting. We say these words, we listen to these words, spending maybe 3 or 4 minutes. Is this supposed to name our real and present brokenness? But I've grown in understanding that this time of confession is a practice. It's a habitus, as our beloved Alan Kreider used to say. It's a ritual and a teaching tool to form us. Our time and words of confession lead us. They nudge us. They open the door. They name the reality of the places we fall short, and hopefully teach us and form us by revealing and naming new areas of growth, sometimes offering words and ideas to explore that maybe we hadn't considered or maybe hadn't noticed. How fruitful do you feel? Or maybe the better question is, what stage of growth is the fruit in your life? It's also important to stop and celebrate the real fruitfulness. Seeing, noticing, confessing, giving thanks. Galatians teaches that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's quite a list, and it can be pretty discouraging to be so aware of what we lack, where we fall short. But this is where the teaching image of the tree comes to help. If we just pay attention to the image given, fruit comes as a bud, a flower, then a small, hard, green fruit. But it grows. It ripens. It takes shape and colors, develops fragrance and sweetness. It's a process that doesn't happen all at once. Maybe you have some buds. Maybe you have some of those hard green fruits that aren't good for much. Maybe you have some jars in your pantry, full and sweet. The fruit falls, though, or is picked and eaten. But the fruit contains seeds, a myriad of seeds. And from those seeds, new life springs, more growth, more fruit. And the pattern repeats through the ages. Abundance. That's what the church is called to, abundant living. There may be pruning or pests. There may be drought, lean years, but always in our very nature, the drive and call to be fruitful. What does it mean for Prairie Street to be fruitful? Stay for the second hour and be part of that discussion. But I believe each one of you, everyone here, has fruit, real fruit, precious fruit. Knowing the nature of God, the abundance of God, the multitude of creation, I believe God is at work in each of us for more fruit. God fertilizes at our roots, asks us to open and bare our hearts, asks us to reach deep to ask the question of who we are called to be, and to answer and seek out and name what stands in our way, to bring that confession to God and to our community, to confess what is true, to ask, how can I bring more of myself? What I hold most dearly about confession comes from Elizabeth O'Connor. She writes that in confession, we discover things about ourselves we had not guessed. And as I often will say, we are never diminished. We are never made small by our confession. Quite the opposite. We have the feeling of expanding a little bit, and actually, that's what happens. We come into possession of more of our true selves and have more of ourselves to bring. God's plan for you is fruitfulness, bringing sweetness and nourishment and beauty to the world God loves. To love each other and to spread such love so that it overcomes, it overwhelms the darkness of the world. Buechner says, to confess your sins to God is not to tell God anything God doesn't already know. Until you confess them, however, they are the abyss between you. When you confess them, they become the Golden Gate Bridge. The gardener who turns the soil of our hearts, who pours out the living streams as in a dry and weary land where there is no water, when our souls hunger for abundant life, the gardener labors on your behalf. The gardener who yearns for possibilities, who believes in your fruitfulness. Jesus hopes and yearns. Jesus loves you, knows you, all of you, every part, every hope and dream, and every brokenness. Let us prepare for confession. Let us sing that true form of prayer. I invite you to turn in the Purple Sing the Story songbook to number 50. Come, bring your burdens to God, for Jesus will never say no. No matter how broken or lost or simply worn, God calls all of us to bring more of ourselves, to receive more of God for the fruitfulness of our lives and for the life and fruitfulness of Prairie Street. Amen.
Jesus will never say no.
As Francis has talked about this morning, we're putting an extra focus, a special focus during the season of Lent on our time of confession. So now is that time, the time in the service to call upon the Lord, to confess our hunger, our emptiness, our need for God's grace, God's fertilizer. In this spirit of confession, hear these words of the Lord from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? And why do you labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. Who will listen to the Lord today?
I will listen to the Lord today. I listen, and I hear that there was a day when God said, "Let there be life." And there, in that moment, a human being was stitched together. I watch, and I see Jesus weave an extravagant feast from only bread and wine. I confess, God, that I do not know how you solve the puzzle of each new moment. But I confess, God, that I have seen you navigate every obstacle, the way a river finds a way through land. And so we offer you our scraps and our crumbs and our puzzle pieces here today. We confess we cannot see the whole picture without your Spirit. So breathe on us. Show us the way to flow. You know these pieces will be woven into the most beautiful robe. You will wrap us in your love, and we will be as beautiful as the tiny new flowers in spring. You can do it, God. Take our nothing and give us everything again.
We are all invited to listen to the Lord today. Let us bring ourselves to God in prayer. Lord, too often we find ourselves spending money for things that do not nourish us, but leave us empty, and laboring for things that do not feed us, but leave us exhausted. We are sometimes so afraid, so desperate, that we devour anything that may help us hide from our fears. Call us back to you, Lord, to your table of abundant good things that will truly quench our thirst and nourish our souls. Please join me in calling on the Lord with the words printed on the screen. God of life, we listen to you, for you alone have the words of life. When we realize that we have paid too much attention to the voices in our world, we listen to you. When we sense the poverty of our souls, we listen to you. When our souls hunger for abundant life, we listen to you. In the morning and in the evening, we will listen to you.
Sing the journey number 73, The Lord Lift You Up. Those who are able, please stand.
Now receive the benediction. May God, who makes all things new, who makes all things grow, dwell among us and give us life. Amen.